Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Digital Diary. I am your host, Hannah Elise, and welcome to the third installment of Dear Diary, which, if you've joined us in the past 10 episodes or you don't know what Dear Diary is, it's basically my little like advice session Q&A episode that I do every 10 episodes. So today is Dear Diary number 3, which means this is the 30th episode of this podcast. Yay! So I'm coming at you with another advice session, Q&A, chit-chat episode today. And I decided for this episode, I wanted to make a theme for it because it's August, and August to me has always meant back to school. And while the actual school part wasn't thrilling to me to think about, I loved back to school season. Back to school season was my shit. Like doing back to school shopping, specifically supplies shopping, stationery, getting a new backpack, maybe getting a new planner, notebooks, pens, pencils, all that was my absolute favorite time of the year. I started my YouTube channel in college, and the videos that I made around back to school season, I feel like are really what got my channel up and running. Like it gained a lot of traction from videos like that. I made What's My Backpack videos for college, my going into my sophomore, junior, and senior years. And they are some of the highest performing videos that I've ever made on my channel. And also some college vlogs and things like that have been up there. So I just really enjoyed back to school season. And it's so nostalgic to me. And I don't miss school. Don't get me wrong. I don't miss school. I don't want to go back to school. But I do miss the back to school season. I miss the excitement of getting, you know, everything ready for a new year. The preparation, the organization. I'm also a big stationery person. I love a good journal. And I love pens and pencils. I love everything stationery related. And everything planning and organizing. And this was just my fucking time. This was my prime time. And I miss it so much. So in an effort to still contribute to the back to school season that I love so much, the episode of today's Dear Diary session is going to be all about college / school. I think some of these things are definitely college specific, or I'm going to be referencing my college experiences. But I think that a lot of this can also just apply to anybody who is currently in school, going into another level of school. And I guess I'm specifically really talking to people who are going into college, like incoming college freshmen. I want to share things that I learned throughout my 4 years of college, because I definitely didn't have the traditional college experience that is talked about, or even the one that I necessarily wanted. But I think that everything that happened in college to me happened for me, and it all makes sense now. But at the time, I had a lot of lessons that I learned, and I want to share these with you because I think if you learn something from a situation, it was not a waste of time and it was not a failure. So I want to talk about my experiences. And of course, you don't have to be an incoming college freshman to hear this, but if you are one and you're listening to this right now, I am talking especially to you, but everybody else who's here, I'm talking to you too. This is for all of us. We're just going to have a nice conversation all about college, school, all that. So I asked on the podcast Instagram, which is Digital Diary Pod. I will have that. I'm going to start linking that down below. We're putting the at name down below in the podcast. Is it even down below on podcasts? In the show notes. And I always say down below because I'm a YouTuber, but I'm just going to put the at name to the podcast Instagram in the show notes. I posted a question sticker on the story on the podcast Instagram, and I asked y'all to send me any questions or advice that you would like to hear in relation to college. And I went through them and I picked out themes, some questions that I got a lot, and I kind of just lumped a bunch of them together into different themes. So I have several topics and like question themes to address in this episode. So thank you so much to everybody who sent in a question. I love it when y'all participate. I love doing these so much because, first of all, I get to share some of my experiences and thoughts which I love to do. And I think that that's such a beautiful thing about being a human being, is that everybody has their own set of experiences and everyone's perspective is unique. And you can learn, not to like say, you can learn so much from me, but I'm saying in general, like, I love hearing people's experiences because you can just learn so much from what they've been through and how they have interpreted it and moved forward with it. So there's that. And I also love doing episodes that y'all get to participate in, for obvious reasons, because I love you guys so much and I love when you participate. I'm trying to think if I have anything to say before we begin. Actually, yeah, I do. So last night, this is unrelated to college, but I just wanted to do a quick recap of anything that comes to my mind for myself and my life lately. Last night, and really yesterday, I had a bit of a moment where, you know those moments, I get them a lot. I don't know if anyone else, I'm sure someone else does, but I get moments a lot where I kind of like question everything about my life and everything I'm doing, and I feel like I don't know what I'm doing, and I start to like overthink a lot of things, and I just get really down, and I go down like a little bit of a spiral, and I feel very out of control of some things in my life. So that happened yesterday, and specifically this one had to do with my job and just how social media has changed over the last few years, coming from a creator's perspective, and just how the creator economy has changed and just the state of it right now. So I had a whole, you know, not like a meltdown, but I had a moment yesterday where I was thinking about that a lot. I journaled literally 5 pages about it, and I was writing so fast because the thoughts were almost like overflowing out of my head. And you know it's bad when I sit down and, first of all, even feel the need to journal in the first place. But my God, I say this almost every episode, I need to journal more. My writing, I was writing so fast because I had so many thoughts in my head bottled up, and I genuinely felt like I was going to explode if I did not get them out. And I will talk to other people about things I'm thinking or feeling or going through at the time, but there are some things that I just genuinely feel like I am the only person who feels the way that I do about them. And it's probably not true, but there are just some times where my exact thoughts, I just feel like nobody will understand. And in times like that, if I don't get them out and I just bottle everything up, it is so bad. It's so bad. So I journaled yesterday frantically. My writing was complete chicken scratch. I wasn't even forming correct letters. Like, I don't even know if I can read what I wrote, but the point was that I wanted to get it out. And also, I love kind of brain dumping when I'm feeling a lot of feelings and I just need to get them out of my head into physical space, because it allows me to go back and pick out themes and pick out points of interest from what I'm thinking. And when all my thoughts are jumbling in my head, it's very difficult for me to make sense of them a lot of the time, or organize them, if you will, or pick out like the main pain points, the main issues at hand. But when I'm writing everything out, whether I'm like mass rant texting to my mom or I'm chicken scratching in a journal, it really does help. And then the funniest thing about when I have moments like this, when I have like a little bit of a breakdown, which you wouldn't think would be funny, but the funny part is that as soon as I'm done having the breakdown, like I come down off of my emotions being super heightened and me feeling frantic and out of control, and it kind of like settles a bit, I always have good ideas. I come up with an idea. Something hits me. Something comes to me. A light bulb goes off in my head. I don't know how to explain it. I don't even know if I can explain it, but it happens every single freaking time. Like, something about having a breakdown clears up space for me mentally, for my brain to like form a good idea for some reason. But that happened yesterday again. And at this point, I'm not even surprised because this legitimately happens every single time. After I kind of feel like I'm losing my mind a little bit, I get an idea. And I'm like, wait a damn minute, this is a good idea. So that happened yesterday. And it just cracked me up because I went from feeling like low about life to I got this idea and all of a sudden I started thinking about all of the possibilities that I could do with this idea that I had. And then I was feeling optimistic again and I was feeling inspired and excited right after feeling a low. So this just goes to show that life is not linear. No journey is linear. Growth is not linear. There are going to be ups and downs. I 100% guarantee it. Absolutely no one's journey is linear. We have dips, we have peaks, and that is just part of it. What matters is that you don't let the dips define you and you learn things from them so that at least the angle of your kind of wave line is trending upward. That's the most important thing, is learning from what is happening and improving going forward and continuing to try and not letting yourself feel beaten down by the things that cause the peaks. Because if you look at the pattern of the whole thing, it's up and down, it's up and down, up and down. So when you're down, it's going to come up again at some point. And you can be completely sure of that because you have all of the history. You see the pattern. It's a pattern. It happens every single time. And obviously on the other side of that, you can say when you're feeling really high that it's going to crash again. But I don't know. Don't look at it like that. Everything that goes up must come down. And then everything that is down comes back up. But don't spend all of your up times worrying about when it's going to come down, because it just will at some point. And you'll figure it out and you'll be on the come up again, because that's what you've always done. I think that's really all I had to say about life lately. But other than that, since I had this whole moment yesterday, I have been feeling really good. I have ideas. I feel like I'm excited to do things. I have been super productive today, which is making me feel really good. And I'm excited to now record this episode as I am 15 minutes almost in. Like acting like I just started recording. But we're going to talk about college. We're going to talk about school. So buckle up. If you are in school right now, this is for you. Listen up. I have some shit to say. So let's begin. The first question theme that I put together was basically, do I miss college / the college experience? And to this, I yes and no. Like anything, there are parts of it that I enjoyed and there are parts of it that I didn't. I think that I don't want to go back. I wouldn't redo it. I have no plans right now of going back to school again for another degree. But there were some aspects, I won't lie, that I did really enjoy. And I look back on fondly, and specific feelings that I just remember having so vividly at times. So let me just maybe go through a few. First of all, back to school season. I already talked about this. I fucking love back to school season. That was my favorite time of the year. The anticipation, the excitement, just the kind of fresh feeling that came with it is what I really enjoyed. I loved picking out my new planner. It was a big deal for me to pick out my new planner for the year, because I knew that that was going to be what I lived and died by the entire rest of the school year. So I just really, really enjoyed back to school season. I also, there was something about going, leaving like my dorm or whatever in the morning, going to get a coffee, going to class, and then maybe going to like the library or something and sitting and getting work done, that I really enjoyed. I don't know what about it that is. Like, did I love sitting in class? No. I enjoyed learning, but I feel like most of the time, if you ask me when I was in college, if I enjoyed like going to class, I would have been like, no. But something about the whole experience, like getting my coffee, my iced coffee, and then sitting in class, drinking my iced coffee, and then getting out of class, getting another iced coffee, probably getting food or something somewhere, and then going somewhere on campus to sit down and do work, I really enjoyed. Something about the vibe, I don't know, but I felt productive. I felt like I had shit going on, I had shit to do, and kept me focused. And I enjoyed doing homework and stuff outside of whatever my dorm or apartment or home situation was, because I felt like I was just so much faster at getting done my things when I was not in my room. And I don't know. That whole vibe just made me happy. I would put my headphones in, listen to some music, and just crank through so much work. I would come out of there feeling like a million bucks. So productive. So things like that I do miss, but there are a lot of things that I don't miss. And for that, I definitely wouldn't, like, I'm not itching to go back. I'm happy where I am, not having like assignments and stuff due. I mean, when you get past school, you do still have assignments, but it's different in real life. Like, you have deadlines for work and things like that, but it's not the same as the college regimen you were on. But I do kind of miss the structure of college. I miss the schedule. I knew where I was going to be. I was able to plan out my days really well because I knew exactly what I needed to be doing and where I was going to be every single day. And every single day I went somewhere and I interacted with people, and it was all structure that was set in for me. Like, the school made up the structure. My classes gave us the structure. They gave us the deadlines. They gave us everything basically that said where we needed to be and when. And I really liked that. Now I am self-employed, so I love being self-employed because there's a lot of freedom with it. But I'm the one that makes the structure now. And there are times where I kind of miss having like a school tell me where I need to be and when, so that I knew exactly what I was doing, because now doing it and holding myself to that means I need to have self-discipline, which can be difficult, but also I am just overall grateful that I have the even option to be flexible, you know. Anyway, so that's my answer. In terms of the college experience, though, I didn't really have that. And I'll probably get into this more if you haven't heard this story already, which I've probably told this story like a million times. And also, I've vlogged my entire college experience since I started my channel, which was my first semester freshman year. Ever since then, I've vlogged and documented the entire experience. So if you want to see any of this that I'm talking about in real time, all of those videos are still on my YouTube channel. There is a playlist on there that I believe is just called College. And that should have everything. Every college video that I ever made should be there. So you can watch any of those that you want. They're all there, which is kind of cool. The next question was comparing high school studying and college studying. Like, how I would prepare for things in high school versus college. Similar, different. And for this question, I want to tell you a story. And this story is about my first exam, I think it was, in college. It was in one of my gen ed English classes. And I think going into this, I didn't have great study habits, because in high school, like, I would study, but it was not ever that serious. Like, I didn't feel like I needed to study a ton in high school to do well. I don't know why that is. I don't know if it was just that I understood things easily, or just it wasn't as hard. Probably a little bit of both. Coming out of high school, I didn't really have any study habits because I didn't study often. Like, I did my homework and stuff, but I didn't come home from school in high school and then like study the whole rest of the night. I would get out of school, go to soccer practice, come home at like 6 or 7 or whatever, eat dinner, shower, do my homework. And then by that point, it was like 10, 11 p.m. and I needed to go to bed. Or I, when I didn't have soccer, I would go to work, come home, eat, go to bed. You know what I mean? So, and also I didn't really feel like I needed to study because I was doing well without it. So all that to say, I came out of high school with virtually no study habits and came into college. Obviously, I didn't know, like, I knew college would be harder than high school, but I also didn't know to what degree. And I don't know. I learned, though, with my first exam that I took, because I got a C on it. And I don't know how that kind of sounds to anyone listening, but for me, I was not used to getting C's. I was such a perfectionist, and I was a perfectionist in college also, but I had to develop new habits. After I got that C, I was like, holy shit, what is going on? I thought I wasn't cut out for this whole college thing because I got one grade that I wasn't used to getting, and a C is still passing. But it just, my perfectionist self, who was used to getting the best grades, saw that and was like, oh my God, what's going on? So after that, I actually had to learn how to study and learn how to focus on whatever, like reading or reading my notes or reading textbooks or whatever it even was, and how to study effectively for college and build those study habits that I didn't have in high school. And I have a question a little bit later on the list that are study tips, so I will get into some of my top tips for studying in college that I learned. That was my experience with high school versus college in terms of studying. College was just a reality check, and I didn't know what to expect, but it was definitely a lot more challenging, and I realized that I would need to apply myself a lot more now if I wanted to maintain the same grades that I got in high school. I got some questions about advice for college admissions, and I'm assuming like the application process and stuff like that. My biggest advice, I have a few things here. I'm not an expert by any means on college admissions because I don't think I really did a great job at this. I think there are a lot of things that I should have done differently, and I probably would have seen different results with some of my applications if I had done some things differently. But first of all, I think that you should start your applications as soon as you possibly can. I know that they generally come out around like early fall-ish. At that point, fall-ish, early fall of your senior year of high school, I think is when you can start applying. But I think that I started my application and like writing my essays and things like that over the summer before my senior year, because then once the applications were actually able to like be submitted, I had things ready to go and I was not scrambling. I did everything very, very early because I knew that it was going to be really stressful and I wanted to get it out of the way. And that's exactly what I did. So I wrote some essays and whatnot over the summer before my senior year, and also before any chaos of senior year, before you get started with classes and being busy with that and being busy with sports. Like, I knew that I was going to be busy with soccer for months, so if I wanted to get my applications and things in early, I needed to start even before they even opened. And I don't remember how I found out like what I needed to write about for my essay or what the general prompt was, but I mean, Google is free, so you could probably find it on there. Or I don't know. I think I wrote a base thing, and then if I had to tweak it a little bit, I at least had like the bulk of it done. And then my next piece of advice is specifically about essays. I made a huge mistake, and I want to tell all of you this because don't make the same mistake as I did. And some of you may know this already, and some of you may be like, well, duh, like, that's so stupid that you did that. I didn't know, okay? I didn't know. I also don't think I had the maturity or awareness levels within myself at the time when I was, 17, to dig deeper. But don't write your college admissions essay about sports. Do not write it about sports because they don't give a fuck. I promise. It doesn't matter what you did. You could have won states with your team, whatever. It doesn't matter. Don't write it about sports. Do you know how many applications they get about sports? I learned this, I mean, after the fact. Would have been good for me to know before. So if you are going to be going to college at all, upcoming, do not write your essay about sports. Dig deeper. You can look up examples of people's essays that got them into really, really good schools. I've seen TikToks about people reading their Common App essays that got them into like Ivy League schools, and just how freaking creative and deep and personal and unique they were. That is what you need to do, is make something that is so you, and the themes are just things that are relevant to your life, not like sports. They don't care. I had so many other things in my life that I could have written my essay about, but I don't think I even knew at the time, which I'm not like discrediting myself because I just didn't know, and you don't know what you don't know. But I just didn't know how much material I had just with things that have happened to me in my life up to that point. And I should have utilized them. I should have used that fucking material. I should have picked something really difficult that I had to go through that had nothing to do with sports. Like, the fuck? Duh. I don't know, man. I don't know what I was doing, but learn from my mistake and do not write your application essays about sports. Do something unique. Take a unique approach. You can literally look up people's essays and listen to people tell their essays. And obviously you can't copy these people because that defeats the entire purpose of creating a unique story, a unique essay. That's like defeats the whole purpose because it's supposed to be all about you and completely your own. But you can kind of get a vibe of what you can share and how it actually can be like a really great way to express not only your writing skills, writing style, but also illustrating a time in your life and something you learned from it. So I definitely recommend looking up other people's and listening to theirs because people are so creative. And you can get some inspiration there. The next question, which was something that was really difficult for me to deal with, was how to deal with leaving home for school, specifically if you are a homebody. And I am a huge homebody. I went to school my first 2 years at a school. It was still in state, but it was like a couple hours away from home. So I was living on campus. I was not at home anymore in my comfort zone. And it was very, very hard for me. And I don't want to say this to scare anybody. I don't want to make anyone feel like it's going to be this hard for you. It just was for me. And you could have a completely opposite experience. You could adjust really well. And I hope that you do. But that was not the case for me. It was so hard. I felt so lonely. And I think there are a lot of things that contributed to that feeling, besides just living in a place that wasn't home anymore. Obviously, that was a big one because I was no longer in my comfort zone. I was in a new environment that I wasn't familiar with and I wasn't used to or comfortable with yet. And it was, I just wanted to go home and lay in my bed and like be in my comfort zone. At the end of the day, I am glad that I did go away for school, even for just a couple years, because I learned so much about independence. I just learned a lot about myself. It was huge, huge growth period for me. So even though at the time it was really difficult, it ended up being beneficial for me in the long run. I grew so much as a person, but I had to struggle really hard to do that. I had some other factors also that kind of contributed to my lonely feeling and just me not wanting to put myself out there. And you have to put yourself out there when you're in a new environment. You can't like wait for everything to work out for you. You have to make an effort and you have to put your best foot forward and put yourself out there, even if it makes you uncomfortable. And at the time, even if I wanted to put myself out there, there were certain situations that I also had going on in my life that limited me. I thought from doing things. I was in a relationship my freshman year, and the person I was dating was a year younger than me, and they were still in high school. And the whole relationship was just very toxic, very insecure on both sides. But a lot of the time, if I wanted to, is that a bug? Hold on. But if I would want to go out or whatever my freshman year, I was met with a lot of backlash from the person I was dating at the time. And I just felt like I wanted to please them because I loved them, and I didn't want to do anything to mess that up. Because at the time, I thought that me wanting to be social and make some friends was going to be detrimental to our relationship, because that's like how it was made out to be, sort of. So that didn't help at all. I would go home a lot to see my boyfriend at the time. So I was just not putting myself out there, and I wasn't in a headspace to do that. The circumstances that I was in and the relationships that I had limited me from doing that, it felt like. And because of that, I feel like I really closed myself off my freshman year. And my biggest advice to getting comfortable, getting acclimated to your school, making friends, is to put yourself out there. And there are a lot of different ways that this can look. I don't mean you need to go out and like be the social butterfly of the school and make a gazillion friends. I mean, you just have to make an effort and try your best not to close yourself off. If you are living in a dorm, maybe try to go out and do things with your roommates. Maybe go get food with your roommates, or just get to know them, hang out with them, make friends with them. I did that my freshman year. My roommate and I were really good friends for the first part of the year. We like grew apart throughout the year. Just, you know, living together with people for the first time and people who you don't know well going into it, it's difficult. Not everybody is compatible with living with each other, and that's okay. You're gonna do a lot of compromising if you have roommates, no matter how you look at it. It was a really big learning experience for me and a big point of growth that I'm grateful for. But at the beginning of the year, I was hanging out with her a lot, and we like talked all the time. I mean, because we lived together, we slept like 5 feet from each other. We would go out and do things together, and then she was putting herself out there, and she made other friends. It's not even that I didn't want to hang out with them. It's just like I don't remember being invited, and if I was, then that's my bad for misremembering. I mean, honestly, even if I was invited to like go out with them, I probably felt like I couldn't go anyway because I would upset my boyfriend at the time. So anyway, it was just a whole thing. Other people were putting themselves out there, and they were making friends, and they were socializing with people, they were making connections, and it in turn made them feel more comfortable at the school because they felt like they had a community. And I wasn't doing that. Don't do what I did. Do as I say, not as I did. Learn from my mistake, and you have to put yourself out there. Whether that be introducing yourself to other people in your class, going out with people and then, you know, mingling with new people there, whether that be joining a club on campus, if your school offers a bunch of clubs. I know my first school that I went to before I transferred, which I'll get into, offered so many clubs. Like, it was a huge school. It was like, there were like 40,000 kids there, I think. There was a club for everything. I didn't join them, but there were a lot of them, and if your school has things like that, you should explore them. You can go to a meeting, and if you don't like it, you're not married to it. You don't have to stay there. You don't have to keep going, but if you do end up liking something and you like the people in the club and you're really interested in it, that's a good opportunity to meet other people who are interested in something that you are interested in. And when you have a mutual interest in something with another person, that's a really good way to build a friendship, because you already have something in common and something that's important to you and that you both really enjoy. So you probably have other things in common too. You'll never know unless you put yourself out there and try and find out. But in terms of becoming comfortable at your school, things like that, I got another question about like how long it takes to get comfortable. It varies greatly by person. Some people are comfortable within the first couple weeks. Some people it takes a couple months. Some people it's not till the second semester. Some people are never comfortable. It's truly a case-by-case basis. And some of it is just whether or not the environment is right for you. which at the end of the day, this environment at the first school that I was at was not right for me. And I transferred from this school after 2 years. So that definitely, like, the fact that it just was not a good environment for me and where I should have been didn't help the fact that I struggled to get acclimated and get comfortable. A part of it is also how much you want to or are able to put yourself out there. What you can control is how you approach the whole thing, how much you want to put yourself out there, and how much you want to do what's best for you. So it's really everybody's individual journey. There's not just one general, like, oh, it'll take you about 3 weeks. That's not how it works. So I'm sorry if that doesn't really help, but I think it kind of is almost comforting in a way to know that your journey is completely your own. You can hear stories from other people, and you're hearing stories from me right now, but that doesn't mean that those are going to be your journey. Your journey is completely yours, and you are creating it. At the core of all of that is putting yourself out there and doing so with a positive attitude and a positive outlook, because you're not going to become best friends with every single person you meet. You may not even become friends with every single person you meet, but it's still good to have connections, and it's also good to have practice making connections. The whole thing is a learning experience, and at the end of the day, you only need maybe one or two super, super solid friends ever. I know a lot of people in college can have like really big friend groups, and I always saw that when I was in college, and I was like, my God, I don't even have one friend. Like one, that's not true, but I meant one like good, solid person to go to, like my go-to person. I didn't have that. And I saw people with like huge groups of friends, and I was like, I wish I had that. But in reality, you don't need the biggest group of friends. You just need people who understand you, people who you vibe with, people who your energy matches with, people who are interested in the same things as you, and people who uplift you. And the only way that you're going to find those people is if you put yourself out there and do so positively. And just try your best. That's all that you can do ever. All you can expect of yourself is to try your best. Next, I want to talk a little bit about school life balance and time management in college, because this is obviously a very big part of it. Balancing your classes, your workload, with also trying to get the most out of your experience being in college, having a social life, having activities, having friends, and making time for everything. My biggest piece of advice for this, okay? This is my tried and true method. I can't emphasize enough how important this is. So, as I already mentioned, back to school season. Before the semester has even started, you're going to buy a planner. You're going to pick the one that you think is perfect for the school year, one that you're excited about, one that makes you excited to get your life together. You're going to find that planner, okay? When you get to school, you will receive syllabi. Each class will have a syllabus, and it will essentially outline everything that you're going to be doing the entire year. Important dates are in there, like exam dates, presentation dates, whatever, like project things. That syllabus is the entire outline to your class. Usually they are anyway. And you will have all of the important dates, deadlines that you need to know for each class given to you at the beginning of the semester. For the most part, there will probably be like things thrown in there throughout the year that aren't on the initial syllabus, but the point of a syllabus is for the professor to give you the outline like ahead of time. That's the whole point. So when you receive the syllabi for all of your classes, go through each one of them before the semester starts. Or if you get your syllabus like in the first week of the semester, do it then. But at the very beginning of each semester, you go through every single syllabus you have, and you go in your planner and you write down every single date that they give you right now. You do that before you even get into the first thing that you learn in the class. You write down every single date that is important. And what I would do, you don't have to do this, but I found this helpful. I would assign a color to each class at the beginning of the semester. And then I would have a colored pen in that color, and I would also have a highlighter that matched. And I would assign this color, and then I would write down all of the dates and assignments and things from the syllabus for each class in that class's designated color. So then when I was looking through my planner, I knew which dates and assignments were for which class based on the color. And not only was that helpful for me to just mentally be able to pick out which was which, because I got used to the color scheme and like I associated them, I picked up on it. So I just like when I saw the color, I would know what it correlated to. It was also fun because using color is fun. And I enjoyed having a bunch of fun colors in my planner. So that's another thing that I did. But the syllabus thing, you have to do it. I swear to God, you have to do it. You have to write it down. You have to write everything down at the beginning of the semester. You will never miss a deadline because you have all of them written down already. Nothing will come as a surprise to you. Nothing will sneak up on you. You won't forget anything because you have it written down because you already wrote it down at the beginning. Okay, so that's the first part. And it's very important. Obviously, also like having your schedule, I would write my schedule for the semester on like a post-it note, and I would write down like each day, the times of each class, which class it was, and what building it was in, and the room number and all of that. Everything I needed to know basically at a glance of what my schedule was, I would put on a post-it note, and I would move the post-it note from week to week until I had it memorized or whatever, and then I would keep the post-it note at the beginning of the planner just to have for reference. So that's the basis. That's our starting point. Then, this is very important. As you move through the semester, at the beginning of every week, I want you to look at what you have that week in terms of your schedule, in terms of any homework or assignments that are due. And I also want you to look at the next week. Anything that's due, any dates that are important. And I want you to schedule time into every single day to chip away at the things you have coming up that are due. For example, if you look at your planner, because you already have all of your dates written down and your due dates and all of that, if you look and next week you have an essay due on Wednesday, and it's Monday of the week before that, and you haven't started the essay, schedule time throughout the current week to do parts of it. Maybe Monday you do research for an hour or two. Then Tuesday you write the thesis and you write an outline for the essay. Wednesday you kind of do like a very rough draft filling in the outline. Thursday you refine your rough draft a bit more. And then Friday you say, fuck it, I don't want to do this right now. And then you come back to it the following week. Monday you finalize your rough draft. And then by the time it is due on Wednesday, I also recommend you submit it as soon as you finish it, whether or not it's due that day, because then it's off your plate. You are not scrambling at the last minute to do it. And you're doing better work. Because when you take something and you break it up into chunks and you do a little bit at a time, you are able to focus more attention on what you're doing because you know you're only doing it for a limited amount of time every day. You're not pressed for time. You aren't working against the clock to meet a deadline that's in like 2 hours. You have time. And when you have time, you're able to think more clearly and you're able to put more effort in. So then, not only are you finishing this task before the day that it is due, which is absolutely critical in college. I swear to God, if you take one thing out of this episode, it is that. Do not procrastinate. Because that is how you get very overwhelmed, very stressed, very burnt out. You're going to get burnt out anyway. You're going to feel stressed anyway. But don't let it be because of that. You are able to control your time management. You are able to control when you do things. That is completely in your control. You have to figure that out. It is up to you to get your shit done by the time it's due. And I am highly recommending to you And I'm saying this from personal experience because I never once pulled an all-nighter. I never once. I mean, maybe there were a few times that I was finishing something the day that it was due, but I was never, ever starting something the day that it was due. And you know what? I felt amazing because of that. I was not cramming. I never once pulled an all-nighter in college. I know that college all-nighters, like, they're, it's like, oh, you're going to pull an all-nighter because you have so much work. No, you don't have to. You really don't. Because if you are smart with your time and you delegate tasks to do parts every day, you don't have to get to that point. And then you can go to sleep the night that something's due peacefully because you know it's been done. It's been done for like a day. I would always, if I had a due date, say the essay's due on Wednesday, the latest I would submit it was the day before. Always. And it was extremely helpful. And it is how I maintained, first of all, not completely losing my mind in college. I, of course, dealt with a lot of stress because college is stressful. There's a lot of, not just even because of the school part, but everything. It's just very stressful time and it can be very overwhelming. And you're probably going to feel burnt out because you're going to have a lot on your plate. But there is a way to manage that and to maybe make it a little bit easier for yourself. And it is to be smart with your time management and be diligent with it. That's my key. That's my golden rule. But I think that the number one thing that I did to try to mitigate my stress levels was to avoid stressful situations by being prepared. Be over-prepared. Be too prepared. That's okay. It's better to be over-prepared than not prepared at all. Coming back to the studying thing, as I mentioned, I have a couple main studying tips that I learned throughout college. And the first one is, I made a video about this actually when I was in college, like how to study or my study tips. And I think one of my first things that I said was to pay attention in class. That is genuinely one of my biggest study tips. Is it doesn't even have anything to do with studying. It's paying attention in class, first of all, so that you're learning the information as it's being presented to you. And going along with that, taking good notes on what's happening in class. My preferred note-taking method was handwritten notes. It always has been. High school, college, I preferred handwritten notes. I know a lot of people like to type their notes. You can, you know, write your notes on your iPad or something, but I just preferred pencil and paper. I had notebooks I had for each class, and then I had, you know, my pencils and stuff. I felt like taking notes that way helped me to retain the information better because I was thinking about what I was writing down. Well, first of all, I was hearing the information from the professor, or I was reading it on the slide or whatever. So I was getting it from that. And then I had to almost process it more as I was writing it down because I was thinking about what I was writing as I was writing it. It's just a more active approach, in my opinion, to writing notes because it's just helping you to retain it more. It helped me to retain it, like the information more. So my two biggest studying tips have nothing to do with studying, and those are to pay attention in class and take good notes, because when it comes time to study, if you have an exam coming up, you don't, like, the number one thing you want to avoid when you're studying is having to reteach yourself or teach yourself in the first place all of the information right before a test. If you're paying attention in class and you're taking good notes in class, you already will have a base knowledge of what's going on. When it comes time to study, you just want to refresh yourself. You don't want to have to teach yourself everything for an exam. If you're paying attention and you're taking notes along the way, you'll be able to go back to your notes and be like, oh, I remember this. You'll have a good reference point from what you've already learned. You have a knowledge of the subject. You don't have to start from zero because you didn't pay attention in class and you didn't take notes and you just like fucked around the whole time and didn't listen. Because that's when studying is hard and stressful, when you have to reteach yourself the entire thing because you weren't paying attention in the first place.
pay attention in the first place. So many of my college tips have to do with avoiding these like situations. It's like being so proactive and on top of things and kind of setting yourself up well. I think that that's really my overall theme of college, is to, you need to set yourself up well as much as you can in every situation. And then when I was studying, I actually had a study notebook, a separate notebook from like the ones I was taking notes in. And if the professor provided like a study guide or some practice questions or whatever, I would take the notes that I already took from class, and I would, if there were like PowerPoints or something that they uploaded online that I can refer to as well, I'll have those. And then I'll take my study notebook, which is a blank notebook, and I will go through if there was a study guide, topics, questions, anything like that. And I would answer them in my study notebook. I'm practicing the test basically so that I'm not surprised when the test, like when I see what's on the test the next day. Ideally, there have been times that I've received study guides for tests and absolutely nothing that was on the study guide was on the fucking test, and nothing that was on the test was on the study guide, which was extremely frustrating for obvious reasons. I mean, ideally, a study guide is there to help you know what you're going to encounter on the test. So if you are given a study guide, utilize it. Utilize any study materials that the professor is giving you, because they're literally supposed to just be there to help you out. Now, if you have a professor who does what I just said and just completely throws you off with a study guide, that's fucking rude. And that's just so unnecessary. Like, I don't even know what to say about that because there's nothing you can do about it. But for the most part, if you're given a study guide, utilize it and use it to your advantage because it's supposed to be there to help you. Okay, the last question I'm going to answer, since this is already a really long episode, is advice for transferring. Now, when I was applying for schools and going through the whole process, you know, senior, junior year of high school, when they really started talking to us about picking a school if we were planning on going to college, picking a school that would be like right for us and picking the major we wanted to do. And it, basically what we were told at the time was that we needed to pick what major we wanted to study in college, and that was going to be our life path for the next like 40 years. And we needed to pick the school that we would love, and that would be the best one for us, and we would be there for 4 years. Like, there wasn't really much room for error, it seemed like, when we were being kind of briefed on all of this college stuff. And if no one has told you, I want to be the one to tell you that you do not have to have your entire life figured out when you're 17, 18, 19, even 20, 21. You don't have to have every single step and every plan figured out before you even get to college, because the entire point of college, in my mind anyway, is to help you figure that out. It's to help you to dip your toes into different things, try different things, study different things, and see what interests you. It might not be what you thought it was going to be going into it, and that is okay. I think I was told a statistic when I was at my first school that the average college student changes their major 3 times throughout their college career, and I changed my major exactly 3 times. So just the notion that we have to go into college with everything planned out and make sure that the major we want is the one we're going to stick with and there's not really much room for error is just not correct. And the same goes for the school you pick. If you get to a school, maybe you chose it because you thought that it was the place for you and you thought you loved it, or you chose it because you just needed to choose something and that was really your only option, I guess. That's kind of the boat that I was in. I picked the school that I ended up going to first because I was running out of time and I needed to commit to a school by like May 1st or whatever the date is. And the school that I wanted to go to fell through because I didn't get enough scholarships. It was out of state. It was very expensive and I just couldn't afford to go there. So I had to come up with another plan, and I basically just picked this other school because it was in-state, so I had like the in-state tuition price. It wasn't too far from home. And I mean, I knew other people from my town going there. It's a big school, popular school, so I just went with that because I kind of was in a pinch and I needed to choose something. I didn't go into it with the feeling that, like, this is home. You know, they talk about when you go on college tours, like, pick the school that feels the most like home. But this one never felt like home. It just, I don't know. It was my last resort, so that's what I chose. And then, you know, after everything I've already told you about how I just was really struggling my first year and struggling with putting myself out there and making friends and all that kind of stuff that we already talked about, I came to the conclusion, I mean, honestly, I think I came to this conclusion my freshman year, but I didn't consciously come to the conclusion until my second year of college, my sophomore year, that this was not the place for me and I did not want to be there anymore. But when I kind of got this idea that I didn't want to be there anymore, I was like, well, what exactly am I supposed to do? Because I don't know anyone. I didn't know anyone in my life up to that point who had transferred. I never heard anyone talk about it. It just wasn't something that was normalized in my environment. So I kind of felt like I was just winging it. And I was very scared because at the time was a huge change. And I didn't know what school I wanted to go to. I ended up just choosing a school to, like, finish out the rest of my degree in my hometown because I couldn't deal with having to find, like, housing. And then if I had to find housing at a school, that I would have to find, like, a roommate. Or if I found an apartment off campus, I'd have to find a roommate. And what if I didn't know anyone that went to the school, or a lot of people already had, like, groups of friends that they committed to living with? So I just felt, after a lot of consideration, I looked at a bunch of different schools, like schools that I was thinking of applying to at the beginning of all of this before my freshman year, but I didn't. And I was weighing a lot of options. I even thought about, like, NYU because, I mean, obviously I knew that I wanted to be in New York City, but it just, I don't know, there was a lot that I would have had to figure out. It was way more expensive than the school that I wanted to go to in the first place that I already couldn't afford. So I was like, it was kind of unrealistic. But I ran a lot of options through my head, places I would want to be. And I realized that in that moment, I just needed to go home. Obviously, everyone's situations are different. Everyone's journeys are different. So that may not be what you need. Going home may not be what you need. Maybe you need to go to a different school that you already have a lot of friends at, and you go there a lot and you like it there, and then you decide to transfer to that school or whatever. And some of you may be like me and you spent a couple years at a school that was away from home and you struggled really bad, and the only thing that brought you any sense of peace was the idea of just going the fuck home. So that's what I did. Was it the most exciting decision? No. Was it the most glamorous decision? No. Was it the decision that was going to give me the college experience? Absolutely not. It did the opposite of that. I had even less of the college experience than I did my first 2 years because I lived at home and commuted to school. So even that, like, that is a super valid option. You save money on housing because you can live with family or whoever you're living with. You don't have to pay for, like, on-campus housing. You don't have to pay for a meal plan. You just kind of pay for your tuition, you show up, take classes, and leave. But the disadvantages to that are, obviously, it kind of feels like you're not really a part, or at least it did for me. I don't want to put this blanket statement out there, but to me, it felt like I kind of struggled to feel a part of the campus community because I was not spending as much time there as the people who live there. But it was also a very, very small school, and it just made absolutely no sense for me to live on campus when I could just live at home and it was a drive away, like, not a far drive. So that's what I ended up doing. It was the best decision I could have made for myself mentally. I was so not doing well my second semester sophomore year at my first school, and that's what prompted me to actually be serious about transferring. So basically what had happened was I was not having a good time. I was trying really hard. I think sophomore year I did better. I had more friends. I was more social, which was good, but I was supposed to live with my cousin the following year because she was a year younger than me at the same school, but then she actually decided to transfer after her first semester freshman year. So our housing situation, obviously, we couldn't live together. We were literally about to sign the lease, and she told me she was going to transfer, so she couldn't sign the lease. So that was kind of what started it, knowing that I had nowhere to live and no one to live with. And at this point, it was halfway through the year, so everybody, for the most part, already had their housing plans completely figured out, and mine fell through. So that was strike one. Strike two was the overall feeling of misery that I had when I was there. I would go home every other weekend my sophomore year because I was so miserable. And I had broken up with the boyfriend from freshman year at this point, so it wasn't to see him. It was just to be with my family. I would take the train home every other weekend. And then the feeling that I got, the pit in my stomach and the absolute overwhelming dread. I can't even describe it. It was palpable dread that I felt when I would go to the train station to get back on the train to take me back to school after spending the weekend at home. It was horrible. I dreaded it so much and I felt sick to my stomach because I did not want to go back. So that was strike two. Strike three was, at the time of all of this happening, my sophomore year, I was an accounting major. So I started off being a general business major. I wanted to be in the business school. I just didn't know exactly what I wanted to study. And then my sophomore year, I took my first accounting class and I declared my major as accounting. So I switched my major the first time from undeclared business to accounting. And at the beginning of my second semester sophomore year, all of my other friends and classmates in my accounting program were talking about internships for that coming year. Because for accounting, if you want to do the four-year program, you want to get your first internship before junior year and your second internship before senior year. And then if you're doing the master's of accounting program, which I didn't know what I wanted to do yet. I didn't know if I wanted to do the master's program or what was happening, but a lot of people that I knew were looking into getting internships in accounting that coming summer in just like 4 or 5 months. And the thought of being an accounting intern for that whole summer, and mind you, I had started my YouTube channel like a year before this. So I had been doing YouTube for like a year. I started making money, but it wasn't like a full-time job yet. It was just like a little supplemental, you know, thing every month. I would get some extra money, but it was nowhere near being able to support me financially. But I was at the point with it that I knew that that's what I wanted. That was my goal, build it up as much as I could. And also, I was in love with it. It was the only thing that brought me joy. It was my escape from everything else going on. It was my escape from all the loneliness that I felt. And it was just my creative outlet. And the thought of having to get an accounting internship 40 hours a week where I had to sit at a desk and I wouldn't be able to make videos. I know that sounds silly, probably, but that made me so overwhelmingly sad to think about. And then I realized with that, like, if I'm dreading even just an accounting internship, I don't want to fucking be an accountant. I don't want to do this for my job. I don't want to be an accountant for the rest of my life. And if I don't want to be an accountant for the rest of my life, I probably shouldn't be an accounting major. So that was strike three. There came a point my sophomore year where I ended up going to the university counseling center on like a kind of emergency get me in there type of thing because I was just feeling at my absolute wit's end. And I know people sometimes have not good experiences with university counseling centers. So my experience can only speak for myself, but the woman that I had, my counselor through the school, was so helpful. And I am so grateful for the experience that I had with her because she just gave me a different perspective that I needed so desperately. She was truly the catalyst of all of this change. She was the one that basically was like, well, why can't social media and creating videos become your full-time income? Why can't it? Or why can't you transfer if you're not happy? Why can't you change your mind and make a move that would be better for you? And I think part of it was hearing an adult and a smart one at that, validate my feelings and make me feel like I'm not weak, I'm not crazy, and I'm not doing anything wrong by wanting to make these changes in my life. And I needed that so badly. It changed everything for me, having the handful of talks that I had with her. And I ended up looking into different schools. I ended up just looking at ones near me so I knew I wanted to commute eventually. When I applied to my new school, I applied as another major. So I guess that would be considered my second major change. I went from accounting to something with marketing. It was like integrated marketing communications, which is basically marketing and PR. And then at that school, I ended up switching again to just regular marketing. So I did switch my major 3 times and I switched my school because I was not happy. And I don't know, honestly, where I would be if I hadn't transferred. It was getting to be a dire situation for my mental health. And so even though I didn't know a whole ton about transferring because it wasn't something that was talked about a lot, I didn't really know like what kind of resources there were because it just wasn't that normalized in my space, in my environment, I did it anyway. And I think it may have saved my life. Was it exciting to transfer to a school that's like close to me? And basically it felt like the next level of high school. I was just driving there every day, taking my classes and going home. It was definitely not a college feel at all. But at that point, I was halfway through my degree. I wanted my degree. I wanted to continue learning and I wanted to finish what I started. And I did that. And that's the means that I took to get there. Was I like hooting and hollering about it? No. But I was home and I was already feeling a million times better. And that's just what I needed to do in that moment. And that's okay. I worried about people's opinions when I like went away to school and then decided to come back home. I don't know. I felt like people would maybe snicker at that or like be like, oh, she couldn't handle it or whatever. But I don't think it's that I couldn't handle it. It's just that it was not the right situation for me. And I took it upon myself to remove myself from that for my own mental health. And that is okay. It does not matter what anyone thinks. It doesn't matter what anyone else is doing, because your journey is completely your own and nobody else has to wake up every day and live your life. Nobody else is walking in your shoes. No one else is feeling what you are feeling. So it is your responsibility and you have every right to make a change if you feel that that is what you need to do for yourself, for your best interest, for your mental health. That's a little bit of my, well, a little bit. That's pretty much my transferring journey in a nutshell. I went through orientation again when I got there, like how you do freshman orientation when you first get to college. I had to join in on the freshman orientation. I was a junior because I needed to be acclimated to the school and I needed to, basically orientation just tells you a bunch of stuff that you need to know about the school and gets you acclimated a little bit to the environment. So I did orientation with the freshmen. I don't remember exactly what the application was like. I don't think it was like the full thing that I had to do to get into college in the first place, since I had already completed 2 full years of college at that point. I know I had to send in my college transcripts at that point. I had to like get classes transferred over. And I did have a couple of like issues with those, with some of the classes from my first school not having exact matches at my second school. But I worked with the transfer office and they were amazing. They were great. They helped me so much. And I provided them syllabi for my classes that didn't like exactly transfer over, and they made it work so that I could have all my credits. And that was really, really helpful. I will say though, when I transferred, my GPA that I had accumulated at my first school reset. I don't know if that was a thing just at the school that I ended up going to, but the GPA that I had worked for 2 years at my first school and like stressed over so much did not transfer with me. So I started over. I had to start from zero at my new school. I was bummed because I just spent so much time worrying about that number and being a perfectionist about it. And guess what? It didn't even matter. It didn't even matter because it didn't transfer over. At the end of the day, your GPA is really not life or death. If you complete your education and you pass your classes and you get that piece of paper, like you don't need to have a 4.0 GPA. I don't know why I thought I did. But that was my goal, and I was a perfectionist, and I held myself to the highest standard. Even through freaking COVID that happened, my second semester junior year, halfway into, like, I literally had been at this new school for one semester and COVID hit. It was just a fucking mess. That's not even going to be the point, because I do not want to talk about COVID. You can see that on my YouTube channel in those vlogs at the time, because I documented all of that there. But I wanted to tell you this story for my transferring advice, just so you could feel better. If you are someone who maybe wants to transfer right now, or you are open to the possibility of it in the future, just know that all that matters is your happiness, your peace, your comfortability, and doing what is best for you and for your mental health. And if that means transferring, then that's what it means, and you will figure it out. You may not be thrilled about it. I wasn't either. You don't have to stay at a school just because you committed there in the first place. You're not stuck there for 4 years. You're not married to that school. Doesn't matter what anyone told you, any adults told you that you had to stick with that or whatever. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what your friends are doing. It doesn't matter. None of it matters. What matters is you and how you feel and allowing yourself to be in an environment in which you thrive. That is all that matters. And good on you for recognizing that something is not right and making a conscious effort to change it. That takes a lot. It takes a lot of strength and a lot of self-awareness, and I'm proud of you. That's basically what I would say for transferring advice. If you feel that you want or need to do it, do it. You're not married to the school you chose in the first place. It's okay to change your mind. It's okay to pivot. Life is all about pivoting, honestly. We don't always get it right from the very beginning. And I think that most of the time we don't get it right from the very beginning. There are very few times in my life where I have made a decision and then that ended up being the complete correct one. Usually when I make a decision, I alter it a little bit. I tweak it here and there. We got ups, we got downs. It's not linear. Nothing is linear in life, including this. So do what's best for you. Don't listen to what anyone else is doing. It doesn't matter. It's your own journey and your life. You're the one that has to live every single day in that life, nobody else. So just do what's best for you. All right. This is a very long episode. I'm sorry. But if you're still listening at this point, I love you. You're a real one. That's all I've got for you today. That's all I've got after I've just spoken for like an hour and a half. I hope that you enjoyed today's episode, today's installment of Dear Diary, this college/school edition. If you are in back to school season right now, you're going back to school, good luck this year. You got this. Practice good time management and self-discipline. Have fun. Be safe. What do I sound like a mom? Oh my God. I'm rooting for you and you got this. I love y'all so much. Thank you so much for listening. I will be back next week with a brand new episode. And until then, hope you have an amazing rest of your day, an amazing rest of your week. Talk to you later. Bye.